Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. My name is Hakun Wong, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time. And with me is my co-host, the godfather of Football Garbage Time, is Scott King. What's up, Scott? How you doing?
I'm good. Excited for Saturday Night Football.
Oh, I know. It is kind of cool, and I was just going to say that, you know, we were talking about this a little bit, but holiday's right around the corner, but I feel like it's already arrived, because in Week 15, we got Thursday Night Football, we got three games on Saturday, we got a full slate on Sunday, we got Monday Night Football. I mean, like, that is just more chances to watch football games without being distracted. That's a big A-plus in my book. Well, how do you feel about the three games on Saturday? You a fan of having games on Saturday?
I'm good with it. It does change the scheduling a little bit, but with college being out,
right,
it reflects it. I'm extraordinarily stressed for Saturday night. It's going to be a rough night for me.
We'll all be having to have our eyes on that game for sure. See if what happens there, the Lions turn it around or the Denver Broncos keep surging. But that being said, let me ask you about this last Monday Night Football duo. So this is the first time, I actually don't remember, but I don't think you've done that before. Have they had a Monday Night Football game where they just started exactly the same time? I know they used to do two football games where they would kind of stagger them by about an hour, but both at the same time. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, both at the same time and both this late in the season is for sure different. I enjoyed it because I watched the Manning cast. So I felt like I was just hanging out, you know, talking football and bouncing back and forth. So that way I liked it. I don't know if I didn't even check the other standard broadcast to see how that went.
Well, you know what's interesting is I finally found a use for my Xbox's multicast, where you could actually put two games up at the same time. I'm like, this is fantastic. There's only two games on. I got them both on the screen. I felt like a king. I felt like this is like amazing. I love this. Although I missed out on Manning cast, I kind of thought about doing that. And I actually, there was a little bit of controversy over the fact that they called Tommy DeVito's, they said that Tommy DeVito's agent's nickname was Slimy. Did you hear all about that?
Oh, I did. I missed that.
So apparently, they said that they called him Slimy, but they were like making fun of it. Like, oh no, I double checked. Like, I think Eli said his son double checked and did the research, and that's actually his nickname from high school was Slimy or something like that. I think he was making a joke. I don't think his son actually did any research. But and to his agent, to Tommy DeVito's agent, and you might, if you hadn't seen it, he was dressed up like basically in a zoot suit. I guess he was trying to look like he was a made man, but he was actually kind of looked like he was going out to go swing dancing or something from the 20s. But that being said, I think that he didn't take offense to it, but he said, I just don't understand it. I don't know where they came at me on that one. I don't know where they got that from. So that was a little controversial there. And I kind of wish I saw that now live, because I'm sure it was like them being goofy about it. But anyway, I totally had missed that. So talking about Manning cast, always a fun time, regardless of the fact that they kind of step in it sometimes. All right, anyway, we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about top five power rankings, quarterback injuries, fantasy football playoffs, quarterback replacement options, top rookie of the year as we see it from week 14, at least at the week 14 point, top games to watch in week 15, and much, much more. So let's get rolling. Yeah, and when we get to the quarterback portion, I'm going to talk a little bit about Tommy DeVito. Not that I think that he's going to bring the Giants to the promised land or not, but I got some words about that because I went to Illinois, as you know, and he was from Illinois. He actually played at Syracuse first, and he was good in Syracuse, and he was bad at Illinois. So I'm trying to figure out exactly what happened between being in Syracuse and coming to the Giants. But anyway, let's talk about our top five power rankings first. Scott, let's start with you. Give us your top five power rankings, starting at number one and working our way to number five.
Yeah, this is kind of tough, when you start slicing and dicing the teams. But I went Baltimore 1. I have Lamar Jackson on my fantasy team this year, so I've been watching them every week. And then they played Detroit and just beat their brains in. San Francisco, I mean, you know, what can you say there? Solid number two, kind of 1A, 1B. Then at three, for me, I went Miami. I really like what they're doing lately. I think they're looking pretty strong. You know, McDaniel is just kind of a mad scientist there.
Yep.
Kansas City at four, you know, interesting to watch Patrick Mahomes have such a hard time with a correct call made against him on the field, just to kind of show what he's getting away with in his career. You know, a team that I'm usually really down on, but I'm going to give it to them this year, is the Cowboys and Dak Prescott.
Okay.
I think, you know, they're heading in the right direction. So, you know, that leaves out Philly. So that's a close call. I'm for sure not putting Detroit in there just because I'm so aggravated at them. you know, and, you know, Bills on the fringe. I couldn't even say Jags. So Baltimore, San Fran, Dolphins,
right.
Chiefs, Cubs. That's me.
All right. So that's pretty – we kind of have the same cast of characters, but just a little bit different order. And I actually did include the Eagles in mine. But I have 49ers. The 49ers is number one right now. I really do think they're playing the best ball on both sides, on defense and offense, when they're healthy, when they're 100% healthy. I think the Ravens are number two, so we just flipped those right there, 49ers and Ravens. It's close enough that I could go either way on that one. I mean, I think they are respectively the top teams in their conferences. At number three, though, you have the Dolphins. I have the Cowboys at number three. I think they've been awfully impressive in the last couple of weeks here. At number four, I still have the Eagles in there at number four. I mean, let's not forget that they are 10-3, and they are have been really solid all year round, but for a little bit of a hiccup right now. And obviously, the fumble rooskies, that's going to be a problem for them. You know, that they had the three fumbles that really led to them being decimated by the Cowboys this last time around. You know, they had three fumbles the first time, too, but they recovered all three fumbles. And that's why they ended up escaping with basically a one-score victory, whereas this time they just got they got themselves shown up. And I think that's a big key right there. If they can't hold on to the ball, it is going to be a problem. But I still think they have what it takes there on offense and defense. And number five, I have those Chiefs, who I think are floundering a little bit right now. But they're never out. It's just, I think it's going to hurt them more that they really didn't work on that on their wide receiver room. You know, I mean, we keep talking about this all year round, but I think that's a major problem for them. So the one I left off here is the Dolphins. And I know you have the Dolphins at number three. And I don't disagree that the Dolphins are one of the top teams in the NFL. My concern is that they let the Titans catch up and beat them in the fourth quarter. And that was shocking to me, that with 4.5 minutes left, they were able to come back and win that game. And that's something that a winning, you know, team with a good defense shouldn't allow to happen. And I say that, you know, fully understanding that that's exactly what the Bears let the Lions do 3 weeks ago. And, you know, but that's a sign, I think. It's a sign that you got to play four quarters, and the Dolphins weren't able to keep up. Now, understandably, there were injuries with the Dolphins. Tyreek Hill out, that makes Tua a completely different quarterback, that makes that offense a completely different offense. So I understand that, and definitely had an impact as well. But that's what left me with the Dolphins at just outside the five. And actually, to tell you the truth, I had the Lions right after that as well. So I got 49ers, Ravens, Cowboys, Eagles, and Chiefs. You got Ravens, 49ers, Dolphins, Chiefs, and Cowboys. We talked about the, you know, the difference here. But why did you think, you know, you have the Eagles out the five, I have the Dolphins out of the five. You think the Eagles are in for a slide here, or do you think there's something else going on?
You know, part of it for me is I've never been super high on Jalen Hurts, even going back to college. So I have a little bit of bias there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a couple games slide. They played San Francisco, who we both have at either 1A, you know, 1A, 1B.
Right.
They got beat pretty soundly. And then Dallas,
right.
You know, they got beat soundly too. So what is that, you know, what is that saying? You look back on their schedule and they're beating up on Tampa and Washington and the Rams. And, you know, they've
right.
got some good wins early in the season, but, you know, what does that say? We're in December. It's a different game. You know, Detroit is kind of feeling that pressure that starts to build in December. And, they go back to back in the NFC and get embarrassed, really. I mean, it wasn't
right.
close. And right. and so that for me was kind of pushed them back. Miami, yeah, they lost Monday Night Football, 5 points. The game was kind of weird. You want to talk bad beats? I missed the playoffs by 6 points when I had Tyreek Hill, A-Chain, and Dylan going
right.
in Monday Night Football, and I got beat by 6 points to miss out on the playoffs on a tiebreaker.
Oof, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So that for me is kind of what pushed me in that direction.
Well, if we're going to go bad beats, I got to tell you my one bad beat here. I thought a lock for playoffs. But I had Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen on that team. And as we all know, Justin Herbert had that 1.4 fantasy point show off where he ended up breaking his finger and then was out after that. I ended up missing the playoffs by 0.6 because
no.
of that. So, right.
Oh,
so
oh, no.
had he just
That's like a point.
Did anything else, so there you go. Regret oh. City. Because, quite frankly, to tell you the truth, Justin Herbert, until recently, has been a pretty good quarterback. He was actually quarterback 6 through the season until that game overall. So he was actually quite a good draft pick for me, and he had kind of carried me through some good games. I just happened to have some tough matchups there, so that was really brutal for me. that was not a fun time. but anyway, enough about our own bad beats. There's plenty of that to talk about there, but I think the power five rankings were pretty darn close. I think we agree on most of it. Dolphins and Eagles are the ones probably just on the outside looking in right now, but we'll see what happens as we continue along with the season and get on to the end here. So let's go ahead and hit the boxing bell on that one and move on to the next topic, which is quarterback injuries. And this is like the year of the quarterback injury. I won't go through all of them, but of course, this week we had Justin Herbert break a finger. He's out for the season. C.J. Stroud in the concussion protocol. Previous to that, we obviously had Aaron Rodgers in the first game for the Jets. Joe Burrow out for the season for the Bengals. Deshaun Watson out for the Browns for the season. Kirk Cousins out for the season for the Vikings. Daniel Jones out for the season for the Giants. Kenny Pickett out maybe for the season for the Steelers. And Kyler Murray, who started the season out and, came back after that, but, ostensibly missed most of the season, which cost the Cardinals any chance of of having a shot at the playoffs. So, let me ask you this, Scott, what do you think? What's the biggest impact here, the most impactful quarterback injury with respect to their specific team?
Yeah, so for me, it has to go to the guy that I drafted in every league and scored exactly 0 points this season, which is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
You've got to look at the devastation for that franchise. You've got Hard Knocks. You've got, whatever it was, 6 months of build-up.
Yep.
National television, running out with the flag, and he played 3 plays. I never saw of all the possible outcomes. That was definitely not one of them.
Right.
However, I did have in my Twitter feed in the preseason and in that same game, I think before, like on the second play, if they don't fix this offensive line, Rodgers is going to get killed. And then 2 seconds later, he blew out his Achilles.
Yeah.
But they just, they've done, really up and down. Zach Wilson, what is he? Boyle, running out there, quarterback. It's just really struggling. And I'll put as my second one, just because Rodgers was so obvious, Deshaun Watson. He had all of his struggles the last couple of years coming back. A quality team, very good defense. They're actually still in the playoff hunt with Flacco.
Yeah,
so
I think the funny thing about that one, though, and obviously Deshaun Watson, a big blow for them because they spent a ton of money on him, and he hasn't really done much for them. But Joe Flacco, in his last game, outgained anything that Deshaun Watson has done for the Browns yet, So, he just signed, and Joe Flacco, obviously, after his last game, was named the starter for the rest of the season. 36 years old, and he is getting a salary of like $700,000. That is a far cry from what they have paid and are continuing to pay Deshaun Watson here. So I think the jury's a little out on Deshaun Watson. At least I am on Deshaun Watson. And I don't know. I think Flacco, I was skeptical of when he came, when they brought him off the streets. But after watching him for 2 weeks, I have some glimmer here that they might have a shot. I mean, they're 8-5, and they're rolling along with Joe Flacco. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen there. I mean, they play my Bears next, so that should be a win for them. And then they got the – I mean, who knows, I suppose. They got the Texans, who are probably going to be very injured at the time. They got the Jets. They should be able to beat them. And they got the Bengals at the last game of the season. And who knows what's going to happen to them. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about Jake Browning as well. But I think they could do something with that. You know, but I agree with you. The impact of Deshaun Watson going out actually might have helped them. I think that Joe Flacco actually has a bigger arm right now than Deshaun Watson, which I think is kind of crazy to say. Yeah, that's interesting. But I agree with you. Aaron Rodgers is definitely the biggest impact there. I mean, we saw what could have been last week, right? When Zach Wilson lit it up for the first time this season against the Texans, basically had a career day. We saw what it would be like if you have one of the best defenses in the league coupled with a competent quarterback along with one of the best young receivers in the league in Garrett Wilson and one of the most dynamic running backs in the league in Breece Hall. And, you know, right now, that could have been the Jets. And what it is going to be is a wasted year for all that. So that's a real shame. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers could have – I'm no fan of Aaron Rodgers because of his ties to the Packers, but that was a real shame for the New York Jets. What about Kirk Cousins and Kyler Murray? Those are the two guys I actually flagged as well as being really big impact here. Kirk Cousins, I mean, with him in the lineup, Justin Jefferson was the best wide receiver in the league, and Jordan Addison was trending into the top five. Without him, Justin Jefferson is a mere mortal, and Jordan Addison is nobody. So, I mean, I understand that they don't have much of a ground game, but that makes it even all more that more important that the quarterback is good, and Kirk Cousins, you know, was impactful for them. Now that he was out, Josh Dobbs, you know, the magic of Josh Dobbs can only last for two games on any given team, so that's over. And now we've got Nick Mullins, and that's not going to go anywhere. So I think, obviously, that very impactful with Kirk Cousins. And Kyler Murray I already spoke about, but he started off injured, and now he's back. They've won two of the last four. Before that run, they, you know, quote-unquote run, they won one of their first nine games. So, you know, think about how much this could have been really different had Kyler Murray started the season instead of Josh Dobbs. Again, Josh Dobbs, the magic of Josh Dobbs floating around out there. What do you think about that? Kirk Cousins and Kyler Murray, their impact in their teams.
Yeah, I think, you know, what's interesting, you look at real football and fantasy football.
Right.
I grabbed Dobbs early on, and he was a pretty solid, you know, QB in a two quarterback league. You know,
right.
You're looking at some pretty solid numbers from him. And then I was able to stash Kyler Murray on the IR. And
right.
So from a fantasy standpoint, if you were able to, you know, marry Dobbs and then Kyler Murray, you're able to put together some numbers. And then in like this weird stroke of whatever, Minnesota then picks up Dobbs and he fills in with a couple of really high number, you know, 20 plus number games for Minnesota.
Right.
So from a fantasy standpoint, if you had Dobbs and Kyler Murray on the bench, you were
right.
able to piece together quite a little fantasy string there. Now, obviously Dobbs is out, but that's just where the reality of fantasy versus real football matches, because Dobbs is putting numbers up. And like you said, they won one game in Arizona.
Right, and they were both free, obviously, for most drafts. So for fantasy purposes, that's a great get.
Yep.
And Josh, and that's what I said, Josh, the magic of Josh Dobbs. Remember when he started for Arizona and he had that one win and he played those close games and they had that trending video where he couldn't buy his own jersey, you know, and they got him a jersey and it was like all like really good times. And then they benched him for Clayton Toon, you know, like a couple of weeks later. So, and that was out. Then, of course, he went to go start for the Vikings, not having been there for 3 days, and the magic of Josh Dobbs hit again. I think he's just got to keep moving. You know, I mean, he's like, he's got two games for team. That's basically it for Josh Dobbs. So, you know, you need a fill in for 2 weeks. That he's your man. Just don't expect him to last the entire season. All right, talking about fantasy football.
I was just going to say, isn't that the Fitzmagic formula?
It totally is. It is kind of like the Fitzmagic. Although Fitzmagic has had strung along, I think, longer time. You know, he's actually strung along some success, you know, much more so than Josh Dobbs. I mean, he was actually pretty successful in Buffalo for quite some time. So, you know, I kind of feel like he was like a really good, a decent quarterback that kind of fell in hard times, found opportunities and flashed for like, you know, a couple games at a time. Like Josh Dobbs never really had that, and he's never demonstrated he could make more than a two-game impact on any team, at least not a good impact.
Sure.
That's kind of what I see about it. So let's talk about fantasy football though, because you mentioned that obviously fantasy football players suffering from the fact that these quarterbacks are all out on injury. What are your thoughts on quarterback replacements now that we're going into the fantasy playoffs, particularly for those who've lost people like, for instance, Justin Herbert, like myself, and those who might not be able to use C.J. Stroud this coming week, because so far he has not practiced. So what are your thoughts on replacement quarterbacks that are available in at least 60% of leagues?
Yeah, so I jumped out this week and made the big pickup of Easton Stick.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
We'll see
how that goes.
The quality quarterback. Fortunately, I don't need him to start. I'm more stashing and blocking. But yeah, you're looking at some pretty slim pickings. You know, Minnesota is a quality team. Is Jefferson back this week or is he?
Yeah, so I think he's trending towards playing. And if you're going to suggest Nick Mullins, I guess the question is, you know, most guys who get in there and haven't had most of the first team snaps will either have a connection A to the guy he's been throwing to on the practice team or B, whoever the number one target is, who just kind of pepper him as much as possible. And Justin Jefferson only needs to catch one and he can make it happen. So I get it. Nick Mullins, I don't really feel good about it by any stretch of the imagination, but I do understand that. It would be a tough pill to swallow, though, to put Nick Mullins in my lineup.
You've also got to look at quarterbacks in that position, like to lean on the tight end.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
They've got Hawk.
Yeah, Hawk's great. Yep, he's absolutely great. I totally agree with that. So here's a couple that I had pulled out that are available in about 50% of leagues or more. So Jake Browning is 46% owned, so available in 54% of leagues. Gardner Minshew, 26% owned, that's available in about 74% of leagues. Joe Flacco, as we just talked about, 21% owned, so available in 79% of leagues. And Tommy DeVito, 7% owned, and that means available in 93% of leagues, so probably floating out there. So any of those things, any of those guys look like viable options to you? Jake Browning, Gardner Minshew, Joe Flacco, Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, so all my leagues are two quarterbacks, so I always have to remember back to the single quarterback days. So I own a lot of Jake Browning. Started him last week. He had a tremendous game, 24-plus points for me. So, yeah, if you're in a single quarterback league, I like Browning and Minshew probably at the top of that list and then kind of down from there. But, you know, Cincinnati has weapons, explosive offense. He obviously, you know, feels comfortable in the situation. He's been putting up 20-plus points multiple weeks. So, I own some Browning, and I'm hoping he's going to actually carry me to a championship in our league.
Ooh, wow. Well, so I am also relying on Jake Browning in one league in which I had Justin Herbert. So I hope you are right. I'll let you win or run away with our league if I can take my league with Jake Browning. I'm happy to take that trade off right now. But you're right. You know, Jake Browning has been great. 275 yards passing last week, two touchdowns. Of course, the rushing touchdown on top of that. And then the week before that, 354 passing yards, a touchdown. And another rushing touchdown on top of that. So he's actually been very good over the last two starts. And, of course, he faces off against Minnesota this week. He has Pittsburgh the week after that, and he has Kansas City in the last week. So there'll be some questions as we go on. But certainly this week I like him. And Gardner Minshew also doing some good things out there. I'm a fan of his. I think he's been doing relatively well. I mean, he's been consistent for most of the season, averaging up around 17 to 20 fantasy points per game. So there's a little bit of fluctuation. Strangely enough, he got decimated by New England, but managed to take it out on Tennessee. So, you know, a little bit up and down. They're facing Pittsburgh this week. Yeah, Atlanta after that. And then you got Las Vegas in week 17. Joe Flacco, honestly, has been pretty good. I mean, like, the fact of the matter is that they also have weapons because they got Amari Cooper there. And David Njoku is actually starting to find new life out there. So the fact of the matter is that over the last 2 weeks, 311 yards and three touchdowns last week, 254 yards and two touchdowns the week before. That's pretty good against the Rams and the Jacksonville Jaguars this week, facing off against the Chicago Bears. Obviously, the Bears defense has been better of late, but there is some opportunity there. Then he has the Houston Texans after that, and then the New York Jets to end off. So, you know, Joe Flacco, maybe you mix and match a little bit. Now, Tommy DeVito, obviously desperation play only, but keep in mind, he's not had an interception in his last three games, in which he won all of those three games, and last week he had 71 rush yards. I mean, that is a fantastic floor. If he can actually start running more, and he was doing that more, you know, a couple weeks ago, and that's part of his game when he was at Syracuse. He didn't do that as much in Illinois because he was terrible there for some reason. But getting those yards on the ground, great floor there, and you get some touchdown upside. I mean, if you look back, he's thrown only for one touchdown apiece in his last two outings, but before that, 3 and 2. So, hey, anything can happen. He puts together a game where he has 50 rush yards and two touchdowns, and we're talking about a real quality play here against New Orleans. And then against Philadelphia, believe it or not, allowing the most points to opposing quarterbacks this season, which is shocking. And then the Rams in week 17, who are only eighth best against the pass. So all those things lead up to me saying, Tommy DeVito, maybe one of that mix and match that you might want to consider later on in the fantasy season. Okay. Well, that takes us to the next part here. Let's hit the boxing bell on that and talk about the rookies of the year. What do you think about this? So which rookie are you highlighting as the guy in charge right now, the one that you would pick as rookie of the year after week 14?
Yeah, so this is – I'm going full homer, so I'll just start there.
Okay.
And I normally am just such a critic of everything Detroit does. If anybody follows me on Twitter, has heard me on the show.
Right.
But LaPorta and Gibbs this year, they both really flashed. I think Gibbs has been a little more up and down. It's come on a little stronger here lately.
Right.
But from week one, a rookie tight end, LaPorta has come in, performed, you know, done well in the blocking and the receiving. Obviously, he's get those highlight catches. Goff now has two really solid options on third down. It's usually Amon-Ra St. Brown, but now if teams try to double him in the slot, they're finding LaPorta. And, you know, if you look at what Detroit did last year, which was Tre'Davious Hockenson, they got a ton of criticism. Minnesota went and gave him a huge contract, eating up a ton of cap space. And then he followed up with a first-round tight end where people were criticizing him for doing it. And then the guys come in and performed, you know, you add all that up for me, and I've got to give him the top, you know, props. I saw some stats. He's ahead of, you know, so many of the household names, the quarterback in yards and touchdowns. And he's just really done well. And to have two of your top playmakers as rookie contracts, I mean, that's really setting Detroit up in a good place for a couple more years. So I'm going to go Sam LaPorta, my rookie of the year so far.
So Sam LaPorta, also one of my picks. So that definitely, I do not disagree. And obviously not homerism for me, just purely just looking at the numbers, my friend. I mean, he is doing great already. 702 receiving yards and six touchdowns through week 14. That's phenomenal. That's absolutely phenomenal for a tight end. And you were right. He came in right away and had an impact, you know, 5 for 5 targets in his first game, 5 of 6 in his second game, started scoring touchdowns in his third, and he hasn't looked back since. So there'll be some lean weeks here and again, you know, if you're using him for fantasy, but in terms of real football, he has been very impactful and a great, great sub, maybe even better than in the future, at least it has the potential to be, than Hockenson. So, you know, great, great move here by the Detroit Lions. Now, I would have to give it to Puka Nacua still. He's obviously trailed off a little bit as of late, but has picked it up in the last two games. You know, he was 4-7 for 105 yards and a touchdown 2 weeks ago against Cleveland, and then against Baltimore, 5-9 for 84 yards. I mean, he has just been an all-out weapon. He's already over 1,000 yards, 1,113 to be exact. He's averaging 13.6 yards per catch. I mean, he's really, really been really, really good. And I think that at the end of the day, the important thing here to notice is that he was a round five pick. So having that kind of impact coming out in the round five pick is been phenomenal for the Rams there. So I'd have to give it to Puka Nacua, but obviously Sam Laporta, a very, very, very close there. And I actually have Sam Laporta listed at top. If you had not taken him first, I probably would have mentioned him. And I will give a shout out to Tank Dell. If Tank Dell was not injured, I might pick him right now. I mean, he had 709 receiving yards and seven touch, 15.1 yards per catch. I mean, the fact of the matter is he was blowing it up. He was absolutely destroying it. And then, unfortunately, the injury he's put on, the broken fibula, put him on IR at the end of November. So, you know, if you track that out, he would have surely exceeded 1,000 yards this season. He would have probably had about 10 touchdowns this season, which is absolutely phenomenal, out of this world for a rookie wide receiver, particularly when it's 5'10 and 165 pounds. He's just really killing it. It is all route running with Tank Dell. So I would have picked Tank Dell had he not got injured, but I got to give it to Puka Nacua now because he's still out there and rocking it. But Sam Laporta, a great, great pick. Let's hit the boxing bell. Okay, hey, real quick, very end of the show here. Tell us, what game are you looking forward to in Week 15?
It's Detroit, Denver, Saturday night. Sean Payton against Dan Campbell. Lions are reeling. Denver's coming on. They figured out how to play football again. Hynes Wilson has got it going on. If Detroit loses this game, their playoff hopes are in big, big trouble. So for me, it all comes down to Saturday night, Lions and Broncos.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. The line now down to Lions by 4.5, the over-under at 47.5, should be a little bit of a shootout here. I think the Lions need to probably solve some things on defense. But the Broncos, you know, they have been exposed. They kind of got lucky with their draw last week. The Chargers were reeling, and they lost Justin Herbert, so that was basically the end of all things for the Chargers. But, yeah, it will be fun to watch, Lions-Broncos. I'll be rooting for your Lions in that game. That'll be really fun to watch. The game that I have my eye on this coming week is, you know, Cowboys-Bills. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people are looking at right now. The Bills, if they want to turn it around, have to keep winning. Strangely enough, the line is the Bills by two. I get it. The Bills are at home. But the Cowboys, man, they've been rolling recently. And Dak Prescott isn't making a lot of mistakes. Already 3,505 passing yards, 28 touchdowns to just six interceptions. So, and CeeDee Lamb having the career season here, already at 1,253 receiving yards and eight touchdowns. You know, the Bills are kind of struggling on the ground, and they're even struggling to get the ball to Stephon Diggs. So I don't know about this one, but I have my eyes on the Cowboys at the Bills. But I do love, of course, watching the Broncos at the Lions as well. All right, that brings us to the end of the show. Let me hit the air horn on the show here. And let's get your social media here, Scott, so people can follow you.
Yeah, hit me up at NFL Fantasy_more. Talking football, boxing, Jake Paul, but whatever's going on in social media, I'm have an opinion. So always find me
up. And he certainly does have an opinion, folks. He will not hold back. So go follow Scott right now and tangle it up a little bit because he's not going to hold back, all right? I'm just going to warn, fair warning, all right? Get ready, get the dukes up, all right? Because it's going to come. He's going to bring it. All right, you can find me at FB Garbage Time on Twitter or X or whatever the heck you want to call it. Don't sue me, Elon. Or on Football Garbage Time at the page on Facebook. As usual, thank you for listening and wasting time with us. Hey, thanks for joining us again, Scott. It's always awesome to have the godfather of football garbage time on the show. It's always so cool. We'll see you back on again next time. And until next time, everybody, enjoy your NFL week.